ladies and gentlemen, we present The Navy Lark with our three stars, Leslie Phillips, Stephen Murray, and John Pertwee. Well, now, about the saucy Lillian Gish calendar that was whipped out of my office at Broadcasting House.
Oh, look, crying out loud. You're not still nattering on about that, are you?
Yes, I am. I relied on Miss Gish to keep Robin warm when the central heating packed up.
You dirty old devil.
Not at all.
Look, Robin, old chap, why don't you just accept the fact that you've had it? Take it like a chap's trap on a chap's chin.
Well, I suppose if you lot can take what's coming to you, I ought to be able to take the loss of my calendar.
Exactly, of course you.
Pardon? What did he say? Not quite enough, sir. But I'd rather he stop now. I'm not that curious.
Oh, suit yourselves. But you've had it, too, and only Robin knows where the trouble begins and who starts it.
All right, then. Where and who?
In Captain Povey's outer office, and, needless to say, with Mr. Phillips.
Good morning, Heather.
Goodbye, Mr. Phillips.
Cheerio, nice to see you. Now, just a minute, Heather. I demand an explanation. I have a right to know why you've broken off our engagement. Is it because you're tired of me?
Yes.
Is it because I've been out with other girls?
Yes.
Is it because sometimes I haven't remembered we'd had a date?
Yes.
Or is it because you're absolutely and completely fed up with me?
Yes.
Heather, don't hedge. Tell me the truth. What is it? What is all this nonsense of you going out with CPO Pertwee?
Strange as it may seem, I happen to like him. I like him very much. At least he's a man a girl can look up to.
And that's another thing. Last time you went out, what was he up to?
Well, give him a chance. We've only been out together once.
With Pertwee, I should have thought that'd just be about enough. Filthy swine. Filthy swine!
Mr. Phillips, I fail to see what all this has to do with you now. You've got your engagement ring back.
Yeah, possibly, but on my finger it looks silly.
Well, then I suggest you sell it.
Oh, don't be ridiculous. Who'd buy a second-hand ring that costs only 30 shillings? That's not the point. I shall keep it forever to remind me of happier times. I shall wear it on a piece of string round my neck.
Well, if my third finger is anything to go by, you're in for a bright green chest. Now, if you don't mind, I've got a lot of work to do. I want to get away early tonight.
Very well, then. Early? Why? What are you doing? Where are you going?
If you must know, I'm going out with C.P.O. Pertwee again.
Filthy's wine! Filthy's wine!
Filthy's
wine!
Oh, it's you, Captain Swine. I mean, you wanted to see me, Captain Purvis.
No, nor did I wish to hear you at Fourth Eight in my office. Get back to your ship and get the work done for a change. Oh, and when you see C.P.O. Pertwee, you might tell him I've got the gramophone records that he wanted to borrow. He can collect them from my office, but I must have them back tomorrow. Records? Yes, I gather he needs them for this evening. Oh, that, you know, I should have thought he'd want the Beatles, but he particularly asked for things like the Blue Danube and Tunes for a Starry Night by the Viennese Singing Strings, and so on. All background music.
Yes, the background to what?
To his wine!
Out, Mr. Phillips! Out!
Oh, Abel Seaman Johnson has got to bake the pie. Because Abel Seaman Johnson said he'd have a try. But Abel Seaman Johnson is such a lousy cook. Abel Seaman Johnson's eating Mrs. Beaton's book. Oh, Abel Seaman Johnson has got a lousy voice.
Look, never mind the Frank Sinatra, of course, your great fat rolling boulder. Look, what's the steak and kidney pie like?
Just a minute, I'll try it with a knife. Right.
Ooh. Well?
No, I don't think it is, very. It's the same as the other eight I've made, Chief.
Then stop making steak and kidney pies with glue pastry.
Well, why can't you buy a steak and kidney pie from a shop or take either it to an high-class chap?
Look, how many more times? I've borrowed Dusty Miller's married quarters for the evening, and I want to impress Heather with my magnificent home cooking. In any case, cooking a pie in a ship's galley and warming it up at Dusty Miller's is a flaming sight cheaper than taking it out of a Cafe Romantica.
Ah.
I'll get the perishing pie right this time. Up to now, she'd have been so impressed with my home cooking, she'd have been speechless. One mouthful and her jaws would have welded together.
Well, at least she couldn't have screamed for help.
No, possibly not. But if you don't bake a decent pie soon, you'll scream all right for mercy. Now look, chuck failure number 9 out of the port ale.
Righto. I name this pie Fatso's Disaster. Pie well and truly launched it.
Good out. Right, now get cracking on the next one. And look, this time, check your result.
I can't make another one, Chief. I run out of baking tins.
I know. You seem in great care. Have you been throwing the tins out of the porthole as well as the pies you baked them in?
Well, I didn't exactly have any choice. You couldn't separate them.
Oh, lovely. Lovely, lovely. Lovely. Very, very nice indeed. You realise what you've done, don't you?
No.
The old plum-coloured dockyard will be full of floating baking tins.
It won't, you know, with my pastries out of sunk. You know, I still can't think what's been going wrong. I followed my mum Min's recipe very careful.
Yeah, well, perhaps your mum Min always chucks her satin kiddly pies in the sea as well.
No, funnily enough, she don't.
Then there must be something wrong with your ingredient in the minimum.
No, no, there isn't. Now I've checked them each time I've there. And what's more, good morning.
Come back here. Come here, you chubby shadow of a chef. What's been going wrong?
Well, before I begin, I'd like to point out it's not entirely my fault.
What happened?
Well, it's the manufacturers, you see. They should use a different sort of packet.
Go on.
Well, it looked like a bacon powder packet.
What looked like a bacon powder packet?
Well, of course, if I'd remembered the cook made them little model boats in bottles, I'd have realised it only looked like a bacon powder packet.
What looked like a bacon powder packet?
Well, when you're busy, you see, you just don't notice, do you? I mean, it looks exactly like a bacon powder packet.
What? See?
Is model boat plastic powdered glue.
Model boat plastic powdered glue?
Yeah, of course it could have been worse.
How?
Well, you might have eaten one of them pies I made them, mightn't you?
If I had, my son, if I had, I can assure you that I'd have waited until it set and I was as heavy as lead, and then I'd have dropped on you from a flaming great height. But it's not messing about. Come on, pat a cake, bake this man. Bake me a pie as fast as you can. Roll it and pat it and mark it with P. Or Johnsy will boot you in the RSVP.
That's it. Kitchen clothes. Give her a cold ham salad instead.
Oh, well, can't, eh? What's old Thundergut doing aboard? What's he want Mr. Murray for?
Well, perhaps we've got to put to sea immediately. In which case, we're chasing you for a sandwich and a telly. Instead of a snack and a snog.
You can't be jobs. Look, Honor, you get back to your cooking whilst I found out what's going on.
The Blue Danube, tuned for a starry night by the... You can't be serious, sir. C.P.O. Pertwee asked to borrow all this old... these delightful melodies?
He did. But tell him I must have them back by the morning.
They belong to my dear wife Ramona's mother, and I must put them back in her collection before tomorrow's night.
Very well, sir.
You see, tomorrow is our weekly musical evening, and if I've been a good boy, Ramona lets me wind up the...
We have some guests coming, and we wish to play the record to them ourselves.
Yeah, I quite understand, sir. I'll see you return them, but you shouldn't have made a special journey from your office with them, sir. Pertwee could have fetched them.
Yes, well, I wanted to see you about something else, so I brought them with me. I had the security chaps on to me.
Good gracious, whatever have you done? Sold the building plans of your office to the Russians?
Number one, you know perfectly well what I meant. There's been some sort of scare on ever since that Iron Curtain trinket left after her visit yesterday.
Well, it's funny. We were scared while she was here. They kept pointing their guns at her.
What did you do about it?
Send them a signal, sir. Don't you know it's rude to point?
Really? Well, that's probably what upset them. Well, whatever it was, there's been a report that they'd put a frogman over the side not long before they sailed. So all ships must carry out a full-scale security checkup.
Oh, excuse me, sir. Hello, Bridge, number one here.
Starboard lookout here, sir. Leading Seaman Goldstein, chanting. What do you make of them?
Pardon? Make of what?
Oh, been having a kip in the sun, have you? Good job, some of us are awake.
Now, look here, Goldstein.
On the contrary, sir, you look out here. I don't know what they are, but I just assume they weren't. They don't look at
all friendly.
Jonesy, what are you talking about?
Well, if I knew, I wouldn't be bothering to chat you up about it, would I, sir? Bobbing about just below the surface they are. All shiny and nasty.
Jonesy, what's bobbing about below the surface out there?
Well, if you were to ask me, and I'm hoping you won't, because I'd rather not know. If it's all the same to you, sir, just in case I am.
I'll ignore that, chiefly because I couldn't make sense of it. Go on.
Well, sir, if you must know, I guess they could be limpet mines.
What? What did he say? Limpet mines? Quick, sir, let's look over the side.
No, after you. No, this is your trip. I must get ashore. Yes, I want it urgent. I'll phone you further instructions from under my desk in the from my office. In the meantime, for pity's sake, don't smoke or stamp about or breathe or blink or anything.
Hello, Captain Perry, sir. Just the chap I wanted to see. Now, I want to chat with you about your secretary, sir. Have you time to come below for a noggin and a cigarette?
Ah! Don't you dare! Don't you dare!
Funny chap. What's the matter with it?
Oh, nothing much. He just thinks that a frogman may have sucked some limpet mines onto our hull.
Oh, is that all? Well, there's no need for him to behave. I think I'm going to paint. But not until I'm a long, long way away.
Oi! If anyone's interested, I'm still here. I'm getting more convinced than ever that I won't be here for much longer.
Oh, sorry, Goldstein. What's happened now?
Well, for once, the water's fairly clear, sir. And I can see at least two of these tin things stuck to our hull below the waterline.
Ah! Mother! Oh, shut up! Goldstein, whereabouts on the ship are they?
Well, hang on, sir. Well, sir, I'd say they're almost directly below the galley porthole, sir.
Excuse me, Mr. Munson.
I saw Captain Povey aboard, and I wondered if anything was up.
Very probably. There's been a frogman about, and we think we've got some limpet mines on our hull.
Oh, well, as long as it's nothing serious.
Help! Help! Oh, so compassionately, sir. I'll pick the path up the main gate, sir. Only phone it through quick, because I'll be running all the way.
Keep well into the left, Pertwee. I may want to overtake.
Be quiet, the pair of you. No, you'd probably all some stupid mistake. Limpet mines, indeed.
Probably something else entirely. Like what?
Well, how should I know? It might be your baking tins or anything.
Pardon? I said it might be old baking tins or anything.
Now, we just have to send a diver down to have a look.
No. I wouldn't do that. No, they'll be mine, sir.
Put the sea front, sir. Perhaps we'll take them off with the engines vibratical.
Are you potty? They might blow us up.
Well, that's the risk one takes when one volunteers to serve one's flesh. One must just take that shot.
Don't be ridiculous, Percy. Captain Toby knows about it, and he wouldn't dream of sending us to sea. So we just have to wait until we hear from him that he's arranged for divers to go down.
Excuse me, sir.
Yeah, what is it, Ginger?
Signal from Captain Forby, sir.
Ah, see? What did I tell you?
There are no divers available, sir, and you're to put to sea at once, sir.
What?
In the interest of the safety of the rest of the fleet and the dockyard, sir.
Hey, what about our safety?
Oh, that didn't seem to enter into the conversation, sir. Mind you, his voice were a bit muffled-like. Sounded as if he was phoning from under his desk, sir.
Very probably. Stand by the cast-off, gentlemen.
Aye, aye, sir. It's an ill wind that blows up nobody any good.
Aye?
This nonsense will put a stop to your evening stog with heather, hasn't it, Pertwee?
Filthy swine! Oh, shut up and stand by the cast off!
We're clear of the dockyard, sir.
Splendid. Perhaps Captain Povey will come out from under his desk now.
I doubt it, sir. Not until he hears the bang.
Aren't you the little optimist?
What?
Optimist! That's what the one-legged grasshopper did when he tried to jump onto a blade of grass.
Come again, sir.
When he opt, he missed.
I think when the grasshopper opts, he... I was so proud of that one. I don't know why I bother.
Neither do we.
Oh, excuse me, you fellow.
Come in, Padre.
Oh, so kind. My best all round.
Anything the matter, Padre?
Well, not exactly, except that I do seem to be a deputation.
A deputation, Padre? An old frog.
Well, as near as I can tell, from practically the entire congregation crew. As the ship's welfare officer, such grand and rewarding work. The crew have approached me on a matter of some extreme urgency.
All right, what do they want? A new set of darts?
That has been mentioned. Splendid game. Only last night I got a double 19 with my first dart. Dart number one, the first dart.
Congratulations. Well done. But what do the men want now?
Oh, nothing much. They requested me to ask you if you would have any objection to them taking to the boat.
What?
Presumably, they feel the need for some physical, if you'll pardon me, expression, exercise, and want to go for a bit of a row round.
They don't. They want to put as much water as possible between them and the ship before the mines blow her up.
And I, for one, can see their point. I think I'll join them. Coming, Pertwee?
Me, sir? Me, sir? No, thank you, sir. I trust, sir, that I know where my duty as an humble matelot lies. I shall stay with my ship to the end.
He's ill.
He must be.
He's not. Pertwee, what are you up to?
Me? Just serving my monarch and the flag.
I'll tell you. One of the very best I'm for. Nay, I'll go further. I'd say you are the sort of chap in whom one can have every confidence. Every confidence.
Padre, you must get on. Tell the men to carry on with their duties and keep away from the sea boat.
By all means, so shall it be. My regards to all. Regards to all.
Right, Percy, you're up to something. And in a very few minutes, you're going to be down to something as well.
Begging you, sir?
You're putting on our diving gear and going over the side to see what it is that's stuck on the ship's hull.
Me?
You! Philip, stop engine.
Aye, aye, sir. Stop engine, chief.
Well, I'd rather not, sir, but...
Stop engine, it is, sir.
I wonder just how long we shall have to wait before Lieutenant Queeg takes any notice of that.
Captain Purvey, sir, I demand to know what... Captain Purvey?
And down here.
Good gracious, what are you doing under your desk?
Nothing at all.
Oh, what a very odd place to choose to do it.
I'd love to...
I'm delighted to hear it. I wish it had been half a crown.
What?
Murderer.
Chasing you out of
your... How dare you send my new boyfriend and my ex-fiancé to their doom, and with the same bang, too. I know all about the need for economy in the Navy, but blowing up the whole of my private life with one mine is going too far.
Well, there may be more than one limpet mine on Cartwright. In fact, there are probably at least two.
Charming. What's that, one each? I don't care if it's stuck 100 out there. You've no right to blow up my snog.
I couldn't put the blasted mines on her.
I wouldn't put it past you. Jealous. Noticed you bending down to tie up your shoelace opposite my desk.
Great Jason, how dare!
And what happens now? Are you just going to leave them to scheme about on the high seas until they go off bang?
There is no need for sarcasm, Ben Jason. I am taking every possible...
Suffering, Codswallop, where is everybody today?
Oh, good grief, the Admiral.
Every office is either deserted or the chap in it is sitting under his desk. Potty, the lot of them.
Oh, completely, sir. I couldn't have put it better myself, sir. Absolutely, Potty, sir. Every man jack of them, so you hit the...
Flag, Lieutenant.
Sir.
Shut your cake hole.
Certainly, sir. Cake hole shut, sir.
Not for long, I'll be bound. Polly, what's going on? Just tell me why the dockyard is full of baking tins.
Baking tins?
Hovey, if I want an echo, I'll go up a Swiss mountain and shut.
Funnily enough, sir, I was over there recently, and one of the best echoes can be... sir?
Cake hole.
My deepest apologies, sir. I completely forgot, sir. My fault.
Teeming must cook. I'll be glad when your tour of duty as my flag lieutenant ends.
So shall I, sir. I mean...
Oh, say something, Toby, for pity's sake, or he'll waffle on again for hours.
I don't know what to say, sir.
Well, neither does he, but it never stops him talking. Now, where have all these baking tins come from?
I haven't the faintest idea, sir.
Haven't you? Well, I have. One of the salvage tugs has fished out 8, and they're all full of some ghastly glue muck. At first, they thought they were limpet mines, but then they managed to crack one open with an axe, and it had got steak and kidney inside it.
Steak and kidney?
Captain Pover, sir, if the Admiral wants an echo, he'll go up a switch.
Sir?
Sir?
Such a cake hole. Oh, I do beg your pardon.
On the contrary, congratulations. I wish I could have you for my flag, Lieutenant.
You were about to say, sir, that you knew where these baking tins came from.
Yes, and given half a chance, I will. They were all marked RN property, and one of them was also marked HMS Troutbridge.
What? Was it now? Oh, well, sir, just leave this to me. I'll deal with the matter just as soon as Troutbridge docks. Pertwee? Ship calling CPO Pertwee, can you hear me?
Yes, sir. Audibly loud and flaming clear, sir. Your voice turned off, rocking round inside this diving helmet, sir.
Oh, sorry, pardon. Can you see whatever it is that's stuck on our hull?
Yes, sir. The baking tin, sir.
Baking tin?
Ah! Oh, luggo.
Oh, sorry, pardon again. How many are there?
Two, sir. But I've got them both off.
Oh, good man. Bring them up with you.
Aye, aye, sir.
Right, Mr. Queeg, start the winch, fix CPO Pertwee up.
Ah, by that you mean right now, I take it.
Well, of course, he's been down in that diving suit quite long enough.
Oh, I'll not quarrel with that. Beats me how you ever got him to go down in the first place. However, getting him up again, well, that's another matter altogether.
What?
Well, the snag is this winch thing, you see, or whatever it is that winds the ropes up and down.
You mean there's something wrong with it?
Well, I wouldn't actually care to express an opinion about that myself, though. It's the lad who understands how the mechanical gubbins or whatever they are that work it. He's the one who's not so good.
Oh, not again.
I'm afraid so, yes. Some of his mates took him into Portsmouth and bought him a Chinese meal last night, you see. Mind, I doubt if they're his mates this morning, because the sweets and sour seem to have proved a sight too powerful for the lad. They understand it, the sour got him before the sweets could calm things down again. I've seen very little of him since, at all. What he's calling his mates through the door was never Chinese, I can tell you.
I can imagine.
Look, boy, if I'm not interrupting anything, could I come up now, please? Or could I at least have some more air?
Yes. Wait a minute, breathe what you've got.
You were saying, Mr. Queen?
Oh, was I really? Oh, yes, the lad. Oh, yes. He sends his best, by the way, from wherever he is. Let's face it, he's there most of the time now. Not as a volunteer at that. He was so fat when he joined the ship, you know. Over 17 stone, now he's down to 8 stone 6. You'd never credit it. You'd never credit it. Well, maybe you would, but he wouldn't. As far as he's concerned, his only chance to establish contact with the outside world is to shout at people who pass the porthole situated just below the cistern. There haven't been too many of those lately, I can tell you.
Mr. Queen, get Pertwee up from below. We must get back to Portsmouth and explain what's happened.
At last. I was beginning to think that Jones had been forgotten. Alley-oop, somebody.
If I had my way, we'd leave him down there. To his wife!
Ah! Oh, my lug old. For pity's sake, give me some more air.
Oh, shut up. Mr. Queen, get Pertwee up and let's head back to Portsmouth.
Gentlemen, I'm waiting.
Now, before you go ashore, I demand to know, what is your explanation?
We were rather hoping you'd have one, actually, sir.
Oh, no, sir, it was some callous merchant ship, sir. Without thought for the safety of those who sail the ACs for a gracious, sir. You know what they did? They chucked a load of old baking tins into the briny. Half the evidence brought here, sir. 2 baking tins containing a right sticky, soggy load of old muck.
I don't doubt it. I have 8 similar baking tins full in my office. If you dig deep enough, you will eventually find... Steak and kidney.
Steak and kidney? How common.
And if you look at the base of one of them, you will also find a mark. It says R.M. Property, H.M.S. Proudfish.
Just a minute, sir. Did you sign that you got eight fighting pins in your office?
I did.
Yeah, just a minute, sir.
Johnson?
Not guilty. Never mind that. How many tight kidney pies did you chuck through the galley porter?
Including the last one, nine.
Oh,
no.
Old Pundergut's has got eight.
Yeah.
I brought up two.
Yeah.
Eight plus two. Help! Herbie's caught a mine!
Definitely, sir. I'll collect the pass at the main gate.
What are you talking about? This, sir. This thing, sir. It's not the same as the rest. It's a flaming sight harder to get off the owl for a start.
No. It's just a baking tin like one. Captain Fogarty, sir, perhaps you take it.
Not me,
Mr. Smith. What? Oh, yes, Tennis. I just you leave it to me.
Ah! Take it over the side, somebody. Come look at me. You've got it. Come hold of it.
I don't want it.
You've got it.
Oh, you're rotten. A stinking lot of rotten. And a big bang all gone fatso rotten at that. I'll take it away, somebody. Fatso doesn't want to be blown up.
Chuck it over the side, you clown. Quick.
All right, then, but I've got witnesses, so I'm not going to pay for it.
Limpet mine disposed of, sir, as per orders.
I might have known. With your kind of luck, I might have known.
There was bound to be one real mine amongst them.
Well, all right, but that doesn't explain how you dumped all those baking tins.
Discharging rubbish whilst in harbour is a very serious
affair. Excuse me, Captain Officer. Excuse me, Captain Officer. You want it on the ship to shore post.
What? Well, can't it wait?
I doubt it, sir. It's your lady wife, sir.
Oh, nasty.
Hello. Captain Purvey here.
Henry Purvey, what do you mean you've been playing at? Where are my dear mother's records? I'm just sorting them out for our musical evening, and all my favorites are missing.
Well, I took the liberty of lending
and
the...
what has happened to June for a starry night? Where's my blue Danny? All I can find is Mr. William Cotton in his ensemble playing 40,000 pebbles on a frost.
Well, I...
And a Mr. Gerald Doe in his Gaucho Tango band belting through Lady of Spears. But it's not good enough, Henry. This is the last time I can let you play around with my 45, 33 McGurn, and 78, I can tell you.
Leslie Phillips, Stephen Murray, and John Pertwee have been mine-sweeping their way through The Navy Lark, written by Laurie Wyman. Leslie Phillips was the sub-lieutenant, Stephen Murray was the number one, John Pertwee was the chief petty officer. Captain Povey was played by Richard Caldicott, Heather was Heather Chayton, Abel Seaman Johnson was Ronnie Barker, the Padre was Michael Bates, and the Admiral was Tenniel Evans. The show was produced by Alistair Scott Johnston. Thank you.